Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Graham Evans.
Good stuff. It's a very exciting season. Our series that we're doing is called Empowered. And I've entitled my message, Empowered to Lead. And I want to start off by asking the question, how does the Holy Spirit empower us for ministry? And you might have some kind of vague idea. Well, I want to say this. He does it by giving us supernatural gifts of the Spirit or special abilities or manifestations, as the different translations would say. And I really want to encourage you. The Word of God says, desire the best gifts. We know this, that the gifts of the Spirit always belong to God. So we don't ever earn them. They're never a reward. That's why the word gift is used. So I don't want any of you to sit out there and think, well, you're not perfect enough to use the gifts of the Spirit. They are indeed a gift from God. It comes out of God's grace and mercy. They always belong to God. So the gifts of the Spirit are never part of our status. It was so interesting how Jesus sent 70 disciples out, and he authorized them, gave them the power to minister, and they came back and they were incredibly joyful that the demons had been subject to them. And Jesus said, stop right where you are. The only joy I want you to have is that your name is written in the book of life. So I really want to encourage you. We want to have the right attitude, the right approach to the gifts of the Spirit. So let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Guys, the gifts of the Spirit are always for an outward reaching purpose, to help other people, to grow people, to heal people. To one, there was given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. And what we have is, in this letter that Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he mentions 9 spiritual gifts. I want to say that there are other spiritual gifts that are mentioned in other parts of the Bible. But what we're really going to be doing as I end my message is just look at 3 of them. Okay, so we are going to look at 3 of them in detail. I think that many of us sitting here know something, maybe not a lot, about spiritual gifts. I think a lot of us are still a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe not many of us are actually using the gifts. So what I would like to do this morning is to motivate you. And I want to do this mainly by talking about the why behind the what. Why do we need to use spiritual gifts? What is the purpose? And I want to say this. I believe that spiritual gifts are connected to leadership. Because leading is probably the most important thing we do. You see, the fundamental basic meaning of leadership is influence. God wants us to influence not only people in the church, but people out there in the community. And we know that leadership always has a goal and a purpose. Our purpose is to lead people to Jesus, to get them discipled, to make them whole, to prepare them to use the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to say this, even if you're not designated as a leader anywhere, You are a leader informally by the mere fact that you connect with people. And we all know that our influence can be good or it can be bad. I just want to think of how the nation of Israel was ready to enter the promised land. 10 spies came back focusing on the negative. Bible tells us the whole nation died during 40 years in the desert. That's the effect of negative leadership. But the two who stayed with the promise ended up taking the land one day. So guys, leadership is influence. And I want to say that at View Church, we're unashamedly a leadership church. We honestly believe that if every one of us can grow in God, begin to exercise the gifts, we will see more people coming to Jesus. Because think of it, if you start praying for sick people at work and they're healed, they're going to say, can I please come to your church? Tell me about your Jesus. I think that we make a mistake of thinking the gifts are just for 15 or 20 minutes in a church service. Never. God has given us the gifts to take them out there. You guys will agree with me. Amen. So guys, look at it this way. The church started with 120 confused and frightened people in the upper room. Jesus had ascended to heaven and he said to them, wait. And you know, when they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, an amazing thing happened. The church began to grow and grow. And I love the history of the early church beyond the Bible days until the Roman Empire declared it actually the worldwide religion. How every time there was a political or a health crisis, so many plagues swept through the world, the church stood firm. You know what it was? Love, boldness, and faith, and the gifts of the Spirit. So many people were healed. It was incredible how the church stood firm. And you know what? They just became unstoppable. Because the influence, the impact just grew and grew and grew. And you know what? I believe we're back in the 21st century. We're living in the last days. And what is going to characterize the church is our humility, the love we have for people. And guys, listen to me. Our faithful exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. We are going to go out there and we are going to use the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of wisdom. The Bible says that in the last days there will be deceptions and false prophets. We're going to use the discerning of spirits. Guys, we're going to be a church that we're going to pray for people to be healed. Do you believe me? Can you see that picture? I want you to be inspired that it's not just the pastors. You see, the Bible says we are a priesthood of believers. Every one of us is a priest, and we've been called to minister, and God actually anoints us for ministry. Now, one of my favorite promises, and guys, the promises in the Old Testament are for us in the church age as well. Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, guys, you know it. I've quoted it so many times. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never be at the bottom. The Lord will make us because he will empower us. He's anointed us. We will exercise the gifts. We will, not only the 9 gifts, we'll exercise the gifts of leadership, the gifts of teaching, the gift of mercy, the gift of hospitality. And you know, the 5 ascension gifts that Jesus Christ has given to the church, we will raise up apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And guys, our impact will grow. It's the purposes of God. It's the plans of God. And I'm just getting more and more excited every time I preach this message. This was not a random lucky packet promise. We've got to understand that the condition here is hearing God and obeying him. Now, as this promise in different ways was shared in the Old Testament times, they really struggled. The prophets, the priests, and the kings would be anointed. But what happened? God gave a very strict law. The law had to be strictly kept by the people because They didn't have that inner strength. You see, you've got to understand, we can never be the head and not the tail in our natural gifting, in our natural natures. We need to be supernaturally strengthened. And so few of them. And so what happened was the religious leaders kept adding on traditions and more rules and regulations to try and keep everybody on track. That's why when Jesus came, he just kept on tossing all these rules and regulations aside. But there was a genuine purpose behind it. And so seldom in the Old Testament history of Israel, so seldom were they the head and not the tail. So seldom were their leaders the head and not the tail. But then came Jesus. You've got to understand, it all changed with Jesus. You know, I just want to tell you a funny story. I had to speak at a Table of Yehovah. It was a grade 10 class for religious education. And I said, sir, before you start, we want to know, do you believe in stoning naughty children? I said, what? No, sir. Mr. So-and-so, who ran religious ed, had told them all that in the Old Testament, naughty teenagers were stoned to death because it was in the law. You do know that, don't you? So they said, do you believe it? I said, well, let me just say one thing. If this generation had to be stoned to death, the human race will die out. I said that. And you've got to understand, it was strictly applied. But it didn't help because there wasn't that inner presence of the Holy Spirit. But then Jesus came. You've got to understand, before Jesus began his ministry, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He went into the desert to be tempted after he had been anointed. He began to heal. You see, Jesus was the ultimate example of the exercise of the gift of the Spirit. And a lot of people think, okay, well, he was God. No, Jesus ministered as a human being. Yeah. So when Jesus knew the thoughts of the people, he wasn't mind reading. He was using the word of knowledge. And you know, can I tell you something frightening? Before Jesus died, he said, you're going to do greater things. What are those greater things? Gift of healing, gift of working miracles, gift of faith, words of knowledge. It's the exercise of the gift. He said, you can do greater than I ever did. And of course, they were all quite shaky. Couldn't really understand what was happening. And, you know, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in John 10 verse 10 and have it to the full. The one version is you might have abundant life. So he says, I'm not only offering you eternal life, but abundant life. What is abundant life? It's a spiritual life. It is a leadership life where you're not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. We all know what goes on at the tail. And if you want to live a life under somebody's tail, it's not a very good life, is it? You guys all nod your heads. Okay. So Jesus said, he was prophetic. He was looking to the future because the day was going to come when he was going to die. Then he was going to be resurrected. And then he was going to send the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died on the cross, sinless, his blood paid the price for our sins so that every one of us can be completely set free of our sin. And the word of God says that when that veil broke in the temple, we're allowed into the presence of God. You couldn't go into God's presence in the Old Testament regime. But all of this happened, and the power of sin is broken. Romans 6 verse 70, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you're free from your slavery to sin and have become slaves to righteous living. You see, we can now, going back to our original scripture that we read, we can listen to God and we can obey him. And therefore, be the head and not the tail. All this was incredibly exciting. But guys, I want you to imagine, just before Jesus dies, he says to the disciples, look at me. Peter, stop fidgeting. John, speak to James. Look at me. I want to talk to you. Guys, I want to tell you, I am going to die. And I'm actually going back to the Father. And can you imagine the fear that gripped them? It must have been, because every time they needed help, Jesus provided supernaturally. He healed them of flu. His words of knowledge, his words of wisdom. I mean, even when they needed to pay income tax, he got them to get a coin out of a fish's mouth. Where is that fish right now? I wouldn't mind taking more than a gold coin out of the fish's mouth. I mean, imagine what it was like. And they couldn't think of life after Jesus. I was sharing in the morning service, it wasn't in my notes, my late father, he just walked and talked and used and applied the gifts. And as a family, we got so accustomed to Dad healing, praying for healing, you name it. When he died suddenly, we were like chilled. I mean, our hearts were chilled. I mean, I just remember needing my birth certificate. My mother was very particular about filing things in these steel filing cabinets of hers. We couldn't find my birth certificate. I said, Dad, I don't know what to do. He said, well, let's just hear from God. And we had this small like attic area above the toilet. It was just a toilet separate from the bathroom. It was jam-packed with rubbish. My dad stopped. He said, it's in a pile of papers right at the back. Take all the stuff out. You'll find your birth certificate. How did it get there? But more important, thank you, Jesus, for the word of knowledge. I remember once when I had mumps. And I don't know if you remember the days when we got mumps. And I was really, really sick. And my cheeks were up and I couldn't swallow. My throat was sore. My dad popped home for something. And I was crying. It was just this little boy. And he said to me, what's wrong? I said, Dad, I can't swallow. My throat's so sore. He said, okay, let me pray. God, just take away all the pain. Walked out the room. You know, for the rest of that time, I had big cheeks, but I never felt one moment of pain. Guys, can't you imagine? I want you to think of your home. Parents praying for your kids, praying for their healing, praying for their school exams, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you name it. You know, we've prayed for jobs for our family. I've had children with 1 month left, and we've just gift of faith. You're going to have a job. My youngest grandson, they said he had a club foot when Roxy was pregnant. I said, we're naming the child. We're anointing your tummy, Roxy. Phew. When he was born, there was no clubfoot. The doctor said, well, there's some mistake somewhere. Guys, we've got to believe. We've got to be passionate about believing in the gifts of the Spirit. Goodness gracious, where are you? Okay. So they're all confused. They're all worried about... But you know what Jesus said to them before he left? In fact, this is John 16, verse 7. It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I'll send him to you. You see, the Holy Spirit was the best parting gift Jesus could ever have given. Because not only was Jesus with them and the Holy Spirit with them, but now the Holy Spirit was in them. And you've got to understand, there is something incredible, the potential that is in each and every one of us when we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. And what he said in Acts 1 verse 5 was, you see, when they finally came to the conclusion that Jesus had been resurrected, I mean, it was a rough patch after Jesus was resurrected. They kept asking him, when is the kingdom going to be established on earth? Because what they thought was, if the Messiah, who is Jesus, and all his angels came, the power would be established. And they wouldn't have to worry. And then Jesus said, no, that's left to the Father. But listen to this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Quick announcement break. Guys, there's the whole leadership thing. You'll receive the power. You'll become the head and not the tail. You'll be on top. Your leadership, your confidence in God, your trust, your faith, your boldness, your exercise of all the gifts will grow the church in an ever-widening circle. That's why as a church, we're going to plant. We're planting outwards. Because that's what happens when the gifts of the Spirit are being used. You will receive power. You will receive power. He said to them, wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Guys, listen to me. The Holy Spirit has come. I want to know, have you been anointed? Because you can be the most loveliest Christian person. You can love Jesus and you can do your best to serve him without the power. And you know what? You're going to have a rough life. It's going to be tough. There are times you're just going to find yourself being pushed back. I mean, the mere fact that the disciples ran for their lives when Jesus was crucified showed that inside of them there wasn't enough power. There wasn't strength. So I can give you lots of stories. I had them all written down about the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Just remember the word power here is the translation of the Greek word dunamis, which means both physical power, miracles, powerful deeds. In fact, the power to achieve through God's ability. Guys, I'm wanting you to serve God in his ability. Now, it was quite interesting. The church was exploding, and so did the problems. And there was this huge bun fight between widows who were Greek-speaking and Hebrew-speaking. And the apostles didn't know what to do. So I think it was Peter suddenly got the brainwave from God, word of wisdom, how to deal with it. Let's appoint 7 people to deal with all these practical issues. But listen to what they said. Acts 6 verse 3. Brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Do you know when you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, we have the wisdom. You might think, oh, you know, I'm just doing frontline. I'm just helping with this. I don't have to be anointed. No. Let me tell you, I know many people who've come to our church, just that handshake. In that handshake, they've known they've come home. This is your spiritual home. Full of the Spirit. Guys, are you getting the picture? I don't want any of you to continue serving God without being full of the Spirit, without stepping forward and using the gifts of the Spirit. So not only did God give strength, but he handed out these gifts or special abilities. Now, the best way of describing them is they're parts of God. Now, we know Jesus is the Word. We sung about it, that when we see Jesus heal, we know that's what God does. Isn't that correct? So faith, you know, the Bible says that God created the earth. By faith, God created the whole universe out of nothing. So God used the gift of faith. It's part of God. Working in miracles, God has always performed miracles. That's why the church that becomes unstoppable is the church that is involved in miracles. Guys with me? That we're going to be characterized by miracles. So let's have a look as time is ticking by at 3 gifts. Okay. The message of knowledge, the message of wisdom, and the distinguishing or discerning of spirits. The message of knowledge is a message from the Holy Spirit. And I had a whole bit here on how to hear from God. We don't have time for that. But it would be that inner voice, that impression, maybe a thought or a picture. You know, when we wanted to start the Sunningdale Church, I felt from God we needed to find a venue. You know what God gave me? A picture of orange chairs. A little later on, I discovered that Alcona High School has got a theater with orange chairs. For 9 months, I kept on asking, please, can we use it? Can we use it? And you know, God has done amazing things in the theater filled with orange chairs. That's a word of knowledge. I believe for our next church plant with Dina, years ago, God kept giving me the name of a school. And, you know, we're kind of on a road to get the school, very much like the Premier League clubs are trying to get their new players. It's all a kind of this step, that. And I believe God's opening doors. Guys, we've got to have messages of knowledge. But knowledge could be past situations, things done in secret, plans, illnesses, things that you wouldn't naturally know. You know why? Because we're all human beings. We only have certain knowledge. But we also want true knowledge. We don't want rumor knowledge. Isn't that correct? All of that comes through that gift. Then the word of wisdom, or the message of wisdom, guys, it's the secret to becoming effective, growing in influence, achieving everything. It's wisdom. What do we do? How do we do it? What does God want? How do we get from here to there? How to resolve conflict, how to grow, where to invest. This, and in fact, basically the exercise of all gifts come out of knowledge, hearing from God, and wisdom about what we do. Because we can do it badly, or we can do it in such a way that it brings victory. Think about the woman caught in adultery. They applied the Old Testament system and said, okay, now we've caught her, you've got to stone her, you've got to agree to stone her. Jesus just looked to God and said, give me a message of wisdom. I mean, the way he wrote those accusers' sins in the sand, and then said, well, the one who is not guilty, you come and throw the first stone. Wow. Could you and I have thought of something like that? But you know that that kind of wisdom can be used in counseling, raising your children. How many of you find raising children the most complicated thing you've ever done in your life? Raise your hands. Yeah, right. Guys, you know, we had a foster son who lived with us. I used to wake up at 3 a.m. and immediately knew he was in trouble. He had Jenny's motor car. He was there. It was crazy how when you love people and you're responsible, if you allow yourself to hear God, he will give you words of knowledge and wisdom. Then, of course, lastly, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. Guys, let me tell you, it's always one of three spirits that are motivating or the source of whatever's happening. It's either your own spirit, your own desires, what you want. It's either God's Holy Spirit or the operation of his angels, or it's Satan and his demons. And guys, we Westerners, we think, oh, don't talk to me about demons. And don't get me wrong, we're not here to focus on the devil. But you need to know. You just got to read Ephesians 6 verse 12. It talks about principalities and powers. And I know that the word municipality sometimes is in there. But, okay. It's very interesting how sometimes, listen to me, sickness can actually be a spiritual attack. And when Peter's mother-in-law got sick, you know, you always got to look after your mother-in-law first and foremost. So Peter comes to Jesus, this is what Jesus did. I'm going to read Luke 4:39. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. What a wonderful lady. Some of you ladies, don't glare at me. You're not into food preparation. Guys, listen to me. As a parent, you're preparing to serve or minister. Suddenly the child gets this fever. You don't know where it came from. You need to hear from God, because sometimes God just wants you to rebuke the fever. Sometimes the child's got flu. So don't rebuke the fever if it's flu. Just pray the flu will go. But there are times when you need to know when to rebuke. Guys with me? But as I'm going to show in my final story, the most important aspect of discerning of spirits is to see the good things that God's doing. So, Old Testament story. I love this story. One of my favorites. Israel is being oppressed by the Syrians or the Aramaeans. The king's clever. He's a strategist. He keeps strategizing to capture the Israelite king. He thinks, if I can get the leaders, I'll get the nation. And every time he hatched a plan, God gave Elisha a word of knowledge, the exact details of the plan. He would go to the king of Israel, tell him the plan, and the king of Israel would obviously avoid the ambush. Eventually, the penny dropped with the Aramaean king. He was furious. He calls all his leaders together. He says, we've got a snitch. We've got a mole. Somebody's telling the king. And they had already researched it. They said, no, your majesty, it's actually Elisha who's actually listening to the conversations in your bedroom. So instead of the king saying, well, let's serve this God, he says, you know what? Let's hatch a plan. Find out where he lives. We're going to surround that town and we're going to capture him. So one morning, he lived in the city of Dothan. The servant wakes up. He's a young guy. I think, you know, Elisha was in his slippers, in his dressing gown. He was just having a cup of good coffee, a View Church coffee. The servant comes, he's sweating, he's yelling. He says, we're done. The whole Aramaean army are here. They've come to fetch you. And this is what he says. This is what Elisha says. He prays. He says, first of all, says, don't be afraid. Can I say, When you and I start exercising the gift, the gifts, as our fear and anxiety goes away. Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. When you know what the Holy Spirit is doing, that becomes true to you. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. In other words, give him a discernment. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You know what? We believe in God for our country, for our city. Do you just see the demons, or do you see the chariots of fire? We've put enough prayer into South Africa, and we're still doing it, by the way, for God to do amazing things in this country. But you need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. And so the guy sees all the spiritual army, and then, you know what? They come towards Elisha. Elisha's calm. He takes another sip of his view coffee, and he says to God, God, give me wisdom. You know what he did? He prayed for them all to be blinded and confused. And Elisha led the whole enemy army into the city of Samaria, presented them to the king. He said, what must I do with these guys? Must we kill them? He said, no, this is what God wants you to do. Prepare a feast for them. Isn't that New Testament theology? Bless your enemies. And you know what? When they went back, scripture tells us, they left the Israelites alone. Don't you and I want to see knowledge and wisdom and discernment lead to amazing things? Do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Do you believe, more importantly, that God can use you? Shall we pray? In fact, I want you to stand on your feet. Because you know what standing on your feet means? It's a sign. It's a sign that we're God's army. And if you're inclined to, you can raise your hands, because we're going to start worshiping God. And I'm going to pray. And then I want you to start asking God, how many of you would love to be used in those gifts? Knowledge, wisdom. What about your business? Who wants a kingdom business where every time you get together with business people, God shows you the plan, what not to do, the discerning of spirits. That guy wants to take your business away from you. How many of you would like that? Come on, friends, come on. We're the head and not the tail. On top and not beneath. Let's begin to trust God.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.